I think it's a really important problem, and I actually haven't really seen very many startups tackling surprise billing. But I've always thought that it's a thing that kind of the reason that it still exists is it's mainly a problem for the patient. It's not really a problem for the insurer. It's not really a problem for the hospital. And in fact, it's a way to get a lot more money out of people, because if they knew how much the procedure costs beforehand, they probably wouldn't do it. So I guess having a system that relies upon people who benefit from this to make the change, I guess why would insurers want to make it easier for people to know how much something's going to cost if they're maybe, even though they may not want to admit it, benefiting from the existence of the surprise bills?
Yes. Rachel might know a better answer, but
Well, the reason why I created this, I was actually working with Blue Shield, and that was one of my tasks, was to identify out-of-network patients as quickly as I could, because for insurers, they want to keep their members in-network because it is valuable for their network, right? Because they're and it's less costly. Say, for example, you have a patient who has 40% coverage for out-of-network, and they go to an out-of-network who can charge three times the amount, they still have to pay the 40% of that, which is higher for them. So there is a cost savings for the insurer. But also, I mean, you know, regardless of what society thinks, insurers do actually care about the financial well-being of their members. And, you know, they can pay their premiums if, you know, they don't go broke. So, yeah. But it actually affects everyone. It affects hospitals because it used to be that they thought that they could make, you know, a lot more money, but they're actually losing money because patients are defaulting. So they're spending all this money and the patient is not able to afford to pay for it. So does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would just add that additionally, there's the operational cost of trying to resolve the issue back and forth and and that takes a lot of time and effort. And then from an insurer's perspective, you know, provider and member abrasion is also definitely an issue. Yeah. Any other questions?
Yes. Thank you. Run all the way to the back.
I would have yelled, but I'm kind of cold. The gentleman who does the cabins, the gentleman in the middle, I think, that had the Charlie, yeah. Oh no, I thought it was the other guy. Sorry, to the right. Yes, you. Was your technology considering any of the? And forgive me if I got that wrong. It may be the other gentleman, but if it was a technology thinking about anybody who has to be at translations. We have a lot of patients in the homeless situation that are not generally English speakers. So, have you considered that as part of your model?
So, I work in a homeless shelter, and I'm there every week. I do just health screenings. Every third person is from Mexico speaking Spanish. So, that's who we're designing this for, is for people who don't have access to care. And the majority, and I'm in San Diego, majority of those populations are crossing the border. So I'm expecting San Diego, Florida, Texas, New Mexico, these people who are coming into the United States and needs health care and possibly could be carrying an illness, bacterial infection, virus. We want to be able to catch these populations before they hit the mainstream. In San Diego, about 2 years ago, there was a hepatitis A outbreak, and that was started among the homeless populations. We were able to keep it in control, but there are other outbreaks that's happening in California, and it's coming from this community. So we want to address these populations and meet the needs of these groups before another one breaks out. And so the only way we can do that, I feel, in my opinion, is to go to where they are, because we're not always expecting them to go to a hospital, a clinic, or a facility. So we want to try to address those populations. And even though they don't speak Spanish, we still need to address their health needs because their health doesn't speak a certain language.
I'm not sure whether that answered your question. Was that where it was directed? Okay, because I was going to say, in our system, just as I did on the Epcot project, letting up to four languages be used when park guests came in, we plan on providing patients with the option of which language they would prefer. and there's enough intelligence in the network to select language-capable people in the medical staff.
Any other question? We'll take one more. No? All right. I guess we have...
We have a decision. As judges, we stood outside. We thought a lot about it. We want to congratulate each of you for the companies that you're launching or have already launched, the progress you've made. Thanks for being with us. And we have two winners, Vera and Transpedite. So congratulations to both of you. Thank you for being here. Marinka has the cash prizes, so don't forget to follow up with her with regard to that. Or Jamie. Yep, perfect.
And thank you again to all of our judges. Let's give them a round of applause. Well, thank you, everybody. Everybody will be convening outside. Please continue the discussion, because all of these problems have a lot of nuances that should be addressed and continue to grow and develop. So thank you again.
The 2019 Converge to Accelerate conference is brought to you by IEEE, the world's largest technical professional organization for the advancement of technology, Boehringer Ingelheim, passionately working to improve healthcare, NASCO, advancing digital health